He needs no introduction. He's the 5-time world heavyweight boxing champion. He's in town with Real Deal Sports and Entertainment to promote the Jose Suleiman World Invitational Tournament, which will take place August 25th here in Toronto. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Here is the real deal himself, Evander Holyfield. You know what I remember most about you? I'm a big boxing guy, and I remember the first time I heard about you stepping up to the heavyweight division. The one word that stuck out with me, and it's every time I saw you fight, I thought of this word, undersized. They said you were undersized, and you really were. I mean, you were a light heavyweight, then you became a cruiserweight, and then eventually stepped up to the heavyweight title. Do you remember what weight you fought at your first time you fought as a heavyweight?
Yeah, 201.
I was going to say 195, but so you were kind of, you were bloated at probably at 201.
Yeah. Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
That of all the things you have done and all your accomplishments, all the titles you have won and re-won and all of those records, the fact that you, as a smaller guy in the heavyweight division, could accomplish what you did, do you take great pride in that? Or is it just, well, that's what I am, and just kind of shrug your shoulders?
Well, the goal as a kid, I was told that at 8 years old, I could be like Muhammad Ali, and I weighed 65 pounds. And, the thing was, three things, listen, follow direction, don't quit. And so if you do these three things, if you don't quit, you'll eventually be it. Then 20 years later, I fight for the heavyweight title.
So there you are. I mean, there would be occasions during your career, and I don't have it documented here, but you could be 20, 30, 40 pounds lighter than the guy you're in the ring with. That could not happen in any other division except the heavyweight division. We see guys win three different divisions, four different divisions at the lighter weights, where they go from 120 to 125. You know what I mean? To do what you did at the top is just absolutely extraordinary. Were you ever in a fight where you thought about, this guy's really big?
No, I didn't, because through the amateur program, I remember losing this fight because the guy had, I was 15. And the guys, they say he was 15, but he had a mustache and he had hounded chest. And I ain't had no hound my face and my chest and all this. So I ran from him for two rounds. And he hit me in the third round and hurt me, and I beat the daylights out of him that third round. And my coach asked me, he said, what happened? I said, he hit me. He said, why you ain't fighting like this? You got me fighting a grown man. He said, he's not grown. He's 15. With a mustache, with a hair on his chest. I said, grown. I had that respect for people and adults. So from that point on, my coach brought in people who was older and saying, they can't fight just because they're older and these things don't mean anything. It's you can fight better. Yeah. So it's the knowledge of what you do, it kind of outweigh the physical side.
So you told me something I didn't know, and that is I assume you grew up an Ali fan. You watched him and you respected his skills and talents, yes?
Well, man, I liked him because he was a champ, and they say okay. I could be the champ. But my coach wouldn't let me put my hand down. So you hold your hands up by your head.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So Ali, in truth, now Ali was bigger than you, 6'2", 6'3", something like that.
I'm 6'3".
Yeah. And but his first fight as a heavyweight, I think he was 205. So he was sort of an undersized, in many ways, heavyweight, not unlike you. But he had a style where he danced and moved and stayed away and tried not to get hit. You never did that. You never took that approach. Maybe in that one fight against the 15-year-old with hair on his chest, but but otherwise, you were more of a traditional style fighter.
I was very aggressive and I had fast hand, but I was that mid range fighter. I can fight close but not hugging, but mid range. I was a mid range puncher and I could throw a lot of combinations.
Yeah, man.
One of the two questions for you, Evander. One of the seems to me one of the trademarks of your career that I remember is you were always in shape. You love to train, clearly. I mean, you're still in phenomenal shape right now, given your age. Why was that? What was it about whatever was your we saw other fighters get old. We saw them get out of shape. That never happened to you. Was that something that was forged into when you were young? Why did you like the training part of it so much?
Well, you know, at a young age, my mama was telling me, you got to be concerned about the things you do real well. Stop worrying about these things that you can't do. Do the things that you do well. So the point was learning to appreciate what you do have. Instead of, I don't have this, I don't have this. You know, because as a kid, this is what somebody always doing. You know, so my mama didn't read and my father didn't read. But, you know, they worked hard and all this. So the whole big thing is your dad outwork everybody. You outwork people. So, you know, I had all the energy and I can outwork people. My mama said, eventually you understand you do things enough like this. So, and I was upset because I didn't read well. My mama said, who the fastest? I said, well, I am. And I said, Mama, what that got to do with it? She said, stop talking about how fast you are there. Stop talking about how smart they are. Say it was telling me, by me bragging, because when we go at PE, I outrun everybody and all this. And I'm the fastest. And they say, you ain't smart. Like this. So my mom said, stop bragging about how smart you are there. Stop talking about how smart they are. Everybody got different things they better than people in. And so you have to be able to appreciate what you do well.
The other thing is you fought so many had so many memorable fights. Tyson, Riddick Bowe a couple times. Look at this list. Michael Moore, George Foreman, Larry Holmes, Buster Douglas, et cetera. Is there one opponent or one fight that most people, when they see you in an airport, they see at a restaurant, they ask you about?
Heck, I can answer that question.
I'm assuming it's a Tyson fight, right? Well, still to this day, right? You still get that.
Yeah, because the fact of the matter, he was promoted to be the best, and our demeanor was just that different. Like, we both from the ghetto, and like this, you know, single parent home, I'll sing a parent home. And they said, well, how in the world can you be like this, he like this?
Right.
But the thing is that the fact of the matter is that I had brothers and sisters. I had brothers and sisters. Wasn't nobody going to pick on me. Cause my mama told him, say, if he come in here hurt, y'all better be hurt too. So I really didn't have to fight, but my brothers and stuff was so rough on me, and I had to keep up with them. I had to, they walk real fast, and I had to run to keep up with them. And so if not, I'm going to have to go back home. I couldn't complain. My brothers and sisters ruled me as a kid. And I had to keep up with them for everything. So I was always working on it. They said, go do this, go do this. Everybody, go do this, go do this. And I was accustomed to just doing it. So I got to the point of I learned to outwork people. If I knew if I had the energy and I did outwork people, and, you know, the whole big thing is to throw more punches, I will win and fight sometimes. I just go crazy and just throw a lot of punches.
Yeah. Well, I never saw you in a fight where you were even remotely close to out of shape, at least not – and everybody – almost every fighter – of your generation and the generation before when I started watching boxing, at some point got into the ring and didn't look like they were 100%. Even the great Muhammad Ali, you know, he had fights where he did not train enough for. Foreman, of course, everybody, except you. You're the only guy I never saw once step into that ring, take off your robes, and you went, wow, he looks like he hasn't been working hard enough.
What is it, my mama said, son, if you don't get in a bad habit, you don't have to pick them up. Now, son, there's things that you don't have already. Now, why help somebody? So my mama said, one thing that you don't want to be, lazy. Oh, that means that you know what to do and don't do it. And so my mama said, that's the worst thing to be. I said, why, mama? She said, because the good people don't like you and the bad people don't like you because whatever you know, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. So, you mentioned Mike Tyson and maybe the most memorable fight in history for reasons that I don't need to explain. Mike Tyson has tried to change his image. Mike Tyson purports to be a better person. I don't know whether it's real or not. Have you forgiven Mike? Have you talked to Mike? Do you have any relationship with him?
Yeah, I have a relationship with, you know, with me, with Mike. Mike was just like my brother. I had brothers and sisters act just like that. And so the whole big thing is, so I understood him and all this. And the big thing is that regardless to being able to accept people who they are, you know you ain't gonna close your eyes around them. Yeah. And so this is the whole big thing. I see you for who you are, not for what I want you to be, until you show me you're not that person anymore. But, you know, if he wasn't sure, I watch him the whole time. I wouldn't turn my back on him for no reason.
You think he's a different person today?
He could be one, but I don't know if he won. But, you know, but the whole big thing, you don't have to take a chance with people that are that way. And my mom even told me that about your brothers and sisters. She said, son, don't think they're going to change.
But, Evander, you would acknowledge there is a code in every sport. No matter what sport you're involved in, there's a code. There are certain things that you can do, and you may, the guy who's on the getting end of it may not like it, but it's within the parameters of the code. What he did to you was as far outside the code as anything I've ever seen. I don't know how you forgive a guy for what he did.
With me, the reason why I forgive him, because the fact of the matter, my brothers and stuff, they get, you know, now my brother and them could not fight me, but they were bigger than me. They grabbed me and I couldn't move and they knew they had me.
Yeah.
You know, and I told them I give. That's for them to let me go. And they keep on squeezing me, I would bite when I bite them, your teeth, when you put them teeth in people, man, they would let you go. They would stop, man. And all I know, I had to beat them to my mama. I get to my mama first, they can't hit me. Because if I don't get to my mama first, I'm done.
Would you still be fighting if you weren't 55 years old?
Of course I would. I'm telling you.
You like it, don't you?
I loved it. It's just a thing. You leave things you don't like. When you love something, you don't leave it. Now, I love it so much that now that I choose to have a promotion company where I can pass down the information to the fighters and tell you how you can do it.
Do you have is there one fight that you consider the best fight you've ever fought, or what you would consider Evander Holyfield at his absolute pinnacle?
Well, I would, there's two of them. You know, I think the best fight that I fought in general with Michael Moore, but the most relieving fight that made me feel good, that first fight when I fought Tyson.
Right.
And, you know, I'm talking, you know, that, and that because I'm talking, I even had family members who had bad attitudes just like Mike. And you know what they used to tell me all the time? I can't wait till you fight Mike Tyson. And my brothers, I had family members that say, you think you're good at two-shoe? No, I ain't never think I was good at two-shoe. I didn't have the bad habit they have. Because my mama said, if you don't get them, you ain't got to worry about it. You know, for one thing, I could zip. You could say anything, but you wouldn't get me into. I'm not gonna get in this argument with you, and you control the situation. You're gonna fire me. I know how to zip it up. My brothers and sisters, man, when they get mad, they will say anything. Don't even think about what they're gonna lose. Now, they were telling me, I can't wait till you fight Tyson. I'm gonna see what you're gonna do.
Right. So, he thought you were gonna get your butt whipped, huh?
Yeah, because he get mad out of anger. He said these things,
right?
Like with me, regardless of how mad and how upset I was able to hold my tongue. That's it. I was able to hold my tongue. I'm able to control my emotion, but it's not like I don't feel bad. But I want it. But I know I don't want that expense. And my mama. Now, my mama even went off like that. She said, son, I want you to be better than me. All my whole life, my mama said, I want you to be better than me, son. Hold your tongue, son. Hold the tongue. I'm like, And because all my brothers and sisters, they had a bad mouth. My mama said what she said, and they said what they wanted to say, and they didn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
My mama said, son, I worked everybody. He said, but only thing they did, I didn't get fired. He said, but I didn't get promoted either. Zip it up, son. So my mama constantly telling me I need to zip it up. She care about what type of man I was going to be and what the reputation going to be.
I'm going to just lean into the microphone a little bit. Yeah, I may be wrong in this. Your first heavyweight title was victory over Buster Douglas?
Yes.
Buster Douglas after he beat Mike Tyson in Tokyo.
Yes.
Buster Douglas, Columbus, Ohio boy. Most shocking victory. If I remember correctly, though, we talked about being in shape. He wasn't in very good shape. As you walked into the ring, did you know you had him early on?
Well,
I mean, you always respect an opponent, but
you respect, but you don't know, because you know what? The worst thing is getting beat by somebody you thought you could beat because of how they look. And now,
I guess, yeah.
That don't happen to me a lot of time in amateur boxing. I remember I fought this skinny kid, and he was just thin, and, you know, he looked scared and all this. And I just knew I was going to beat him up. He beat me. And, man, I started crying and all this and stuff like this. You know, I'm like, I came back and beat him next time. You know, the whole big thing is that just because a person who looked tough and he had them long arms, and he just kept me on the outside the whole time. And, man, and it's just like he wanted to fight. But I had to correct myself. Yeah. Stop judging by eyesight. You know, like, and so when it came to Buster Douglas, what made me very confident in beating him is that when we was in the weigh-in and he lied about the weight. He said something was wrong with the scale.
Mm-hmm.
When nothing wrong with the scale, because I weighed the same thing that he was so nervous and crying about it, I realized that ain't no way in the world you're going to beat me. Here you are. As you looked at, he weighed 246. You look at all these things that he used to weigh that all the time and beat the daylights out of people. He let the people, because they said boo, they started booing him, he let that change his whole position. When he did that, I said to myself, first thing I said, you don't deserve to be the heavyweight champion of the world. You crying and worried about what somebody say.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of led me on to fighting him even harder. And plus, he had said that all my fight was cakewalks. He said, you ain't fighting nobody. And I had to defend myself. I said, look, hey, I fought with the best people. I said, I made the Olympic team. You didn't make the Olympic team. I said, it's a price I had to pay to be who I am. But he kept saying that all them fights you fought were cakewalks. And I was like kind of disappointed. I'm saying that, and I said, you know, I guess when I beat you, they're going to say a cakewalk to me.
What do you think of the heavyweight division today? When I was growing up, it was almost all Americans. For you, during your era, it was almost all Americans. And now we have this new international thing with the heavyweights. Not so much in the lighter weights. It's still pretty much the traditional guys. There's some Mexican guys, some South American and Central American guys. The heavyweights, it's sort of morphed to Europe a little bit. And it doesn't have the drama, the interest for me, that it did when guys like you were out there. Do you feel the same way?
Well, it is, because the fact of the matter, when you kill the amateur program, our amateur program went down after Howard Cosell left. We have nobody talk about the amateur kids. So that means that when kids are small, they grow big. You start off small, and you grow big. You learn how to box, though. Now you got everybody jumping in at 22, 23. They ain't even got the basic skills. They don't even know if they can really fight.
Yeah, but they also have, You know, and let's be blunt. We're talking mostly about African-American kids.
Yeah.
Not exclusively, but mostly. Today, if you were 15 years of age and you're a good athlete, which you were, and that athletic skill could be transferred anywhere, why would you be a boxer? Why wouldn't you go and say, I'm going to be a basketball player. I'm going to be a football player. I'm even going to be a baseball player. Hell, you could be a golfer. You got Tiger Woods, the greatest player certainly of his generation. You have options. Why would you choose fighting? Would you?
Well, you know, I would have chose football if they didn't put me on the bench. they put me on the bench for the first time when I was 15 years old, and my mama wouldn't let me quit. And she said, well, you know, when the end of the season, you can quit. And that's the reason. Now, I love football because I was a team player, and I love doing things with people. And but because
they wouldn't let you play, so
but no, well, they I played in the championship game. Asked me, "Are you coming back next year?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Why?" I said, "My mama said I didn't have to play, because my mama had gave me the understanding. Said coaches determine who go in the game.
True,
but when you box, you determine how much you want to put out.
Yeah,
and so I believed in myself. You know what? You know, even I didn't believe that I was small. I believe that whatever the circumstance, I can make the adjustment.
Sure.
Vander, tell us about your promotional company and what is going to happen in Toronto.
Well, with Real Deal Promotion, we putting on weatherweight fight. We have the best. We got the best four people who are in position to fight for a championship. And so with me having that opportunity and wanting boxing to bring the people together in boxing, the boxers and the people who watch boxing, people don't want to be cheated. They, you know, and people, and then I guess in the most part, when you lose a fight because you're the better fighter and this other guy just a little bit more popular than you. I'm talking about it kills people drive. I'm talking, you know, I'm talking as hard as somebody else work, you know, it's just like, you know, in my era, majority of everybody watch Ali.
Yep.
Everybody want to be like Ali. And you know what? And all these people, you know, you ask Red Bo, he wanted to be like Ali, yeah. Lennox Lewis, and all these people want to be like that. All of them became champions. They all of them became champion. I said, but you know, not all at one time, but everybody became champion. I'm so the thing is somebody had to talk to the young people. And because if you don't give them the information, then records ain't gonna never be broken. Records are broken because people who were successful talk to the people. This happened to me, but I didn't quit. No, I didn't want to be no four-time heavyweight champion of the world. You know what I wanted to be? I wanted to be undefeated, yeah. And I wanted to break Rocky Marciano's record.
Yeah.
No, I didn't break Marciano's record, but I'm the only man that ever been the heavyweight champion of the world four times. But the fact of the matter, because I didn't quit.
Right.
Well, it didn't go my way, so I didn't quit. But well, everything is not going to go your way. I'm talking in life, everything is going to go your way. Something's going to happen. That's the reason you have to persevere through situations. Everything ain't gonna be comfortable. I didn't want to be the youngest kid, but I was the youngest kid, and my mama ran out of money on me, and I was always upset. Why me? Why you ran out of money on me? But the fact of the matter now, I look at all this. If these things didn't happen to me, I probably wouldn't be the person who I am. I'm actually who I am for the things that happened.
The fight takes place. August 25th, a Saturday, here in Toronto. Site still to be determined?
Still to be determined, yes.
Is the two fights on the card? And are they still the same ones? Van Heerden against Lawson and Solomon and Santana?
Yes.
So those are the four guys you're going to see. They're all contenders, all have winning records. I don't know if any of them is undefeated, but they've got pretty good records, 26-2, 27-1, 28-1. These are guys looking for an opportunity. to be the next Evander Holyfield?
Well, not the next Evander Holyfield. Evander Holyfield wasn't a weatherweight. I'm talking about a champion that we
That's
all can
I
be
mean.
Champion. We can all be champion. And so the point of the matter, I'm always telling, when I talk to the fighter, I say, you know, you don't want to beat me. You want to be a better you. And being a better you going to get your self-esteem. You're going to do the things that are right. Because I'm talking about, I had some errors in my life for boxing. People like that. Who in the world could do that? I said, well, I was just raised that way. And my mom said, you don't get bad habits, you ain't got to put them down. And so it's always something that you get around somebody, they're your friend. You like them because it's something they do better than you. And like this, and I say, look, I give you the knowledge and understanding. You take this knowledge and you use it to your advantage to be the better you that you can be. Like that, because I feel that, I believe in God, and God made everybody and made everybody special. The man who made me made you. So you ain't got to be envy of me. He makes you, you can be the very best you can be. And like that, and because his identity is a big problem in life. People get jealous of people. They look and see something that you have nice and wonder why they don't have it and they ain't did nothing.
No.
You know why you don't have it? You ain't did nothing. You do something with what you got.
You're here. Well said. I want to thank you for many, many enjoyable hours of watching you perform. I'm at great admiration for you as a fighter and as a man. And it's been a pleasure meeting you. We wish you good luck with this card and with everything in the future. And thank you very much for stopping by. It's great to meet you.